That song actually underlined what my message is today. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. And praying in the name of Jesus is the theme this morning. We already heard a few weeks ago that the name of Jesus is all-powerful, and it is like a strong rock on which we stand and we can build our faith upon. If I were to ask you today, how many things did you ask of the Lord last week? Maybe you would say, oh, I can't even count it. It was so many. Then I would like to ask you, how many things did you actually expect from the Lord that he would actually give to you? Now, we have a young man in our youth group. He is there at the sound, Brother Martin Matner. I really appreciate him. He texted me, he said, Pastor, can you pray? I have a job interview. And I knew he was probably nervous. He really wanted that job. And boy, did I almost jump when he texted me, I got the job. And I said, praise the Lord. In answer to prayer, God answers prayers. But sometimes we're surprised when actually what we pray happens, right? It's like, wow, I didn't know it would happen. And that's a pleasant surprise. But I think also at the same time, we shouldn't be too surprised because God says he answers prayer. We should never doubt that. James, in the book of James, he's also speaking of the issue of prayer. He uses actually very strong language, and he actually rebukes a lot of his readers on their stumbling or struggling Christian walk, if you will. In James chapter 3, and it sounds like he's accusing them. I don't know how to read it differently. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. Interesting, right? If we are lacking things, he says, it goes back to because you didn't ask for them. And then he says, you ask and you do not receive. That's a different point, right? Because we need to learn to receive. And this is actually the practice of our prayer life that will never end. We will never really learn to receive where we can say, well, I receive everything I want. I receive all my prayers. Everything is answered just like that. I don't think we'll ever reach that. But yet, I think there is room for us to learn to receive, to learn to accept from the Lord what he has for us. And then he says, they asked because of wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So these people that James wrote to, they were praying the wrong way. They were praying. Yeah, they were religious. Yes. They were praying the wrong way. They were praying with wrong motives. You and I ought to pray with wholeheartedness and with all sincerity of heart. In German, we would say, mit ganzer Aufrichtigkeit, which is a big word, yeah. Complete honesty and sincerity. That is what James is referring to here. And then he goes further to say, do you not know that friendship with the world? Listen carefully here. Friendship with the world. Well, God doesn't like that very much. Wouldn't you like that to be in the Bible? If you are friends with the world, if you have a friendship with the world, God doesn't like that very much. No, it's not what James is saying. He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Hostility is a form of rebellion. So if you and I have a love for the world, if we have a problem with false friendships of the world, you may try to pray, but the prayers are going to be all messed up. It's going to just go the wrong direction, the wrong way. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Isn't that strong language? I find that a little, I find James a little harsh. but it's God's word. It's either or. It's either you're in the camp with God or you're in the camp with the world. And if you're in the camp with God, which I hope all of us are, then we get to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Why the name of Jesus Christ? Jesus was trying to teach, or he did teach the apostles here, his disciples, and he teaches us that we need to ask things of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between us and the Father. There's no Mary, there's no other saint, no other that you can pray to. That's all man-made beliefs. He is the only mediator between us and the Father. Jesus has never said that we could pray in the name of a saint that is long dead or in the name of Mary. Never said that. He said, ask in my name. A name in Scripture represents the essence of the person. It's not so much the name alone, it's the person who stands behind the name, who is named a certain way. The person's character, personality, reputation, and authority are all wrapped up in the name. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell us here. Look, my whole personality, my whole being, all that I am, and he says, I have power in heaven and on earth. All power is given to me, all authority. That's who I am. I am who I am. I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the Lion of Judah. I am the first and the last. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. All that he is stands behind his name. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, we read, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So there's an extraordinary value in a person's name. You know, when I learned the meaning of my name, I was a little surprised, a little shocked. Have you ever learned the spiritual meaning of your name? My name actually means warrior. And I prayed many times, Lord, I don't feel like a warrior at all. And I may be the weakest in the kingdom of God. But it's not about my name. It's about God's name and Christ's name. Let's look at what it means when we pray in the name of Jesus. First, when we commit our lives to Christ, when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts And oftentimes, this is where people get stuck. You're in a revival service, and the minister or evangelist says, all those who want to accept Jesus, raise your hand, or come to the front, sign a card or something. And you accept Jesus, this is the time where I accepted Jesus into my heart. But there's a lot more to it than that. To be a disciple of Christ, to live according to the name of Jesus Christ, we need to commit that He is Lord over our lives. And that puts things in a totally different perspective. Walking in the name of Jesus means that we commit ourselves to His name, to respect it, to glorify His name, to defend His name, and to live as Christ would have us live. That is living in the name of Jesus. And unless we live in the name of Jesus, unless He is Lord over our lives, that He has the say over our lives, we cannot properly pray in the name of Jesus. Forget that. God's name. And I have asked myself many times, God's name is already exalted. And I say, Lord, what can we do, we mortal human beings? What can we do to exalt your name? Your name is already exalted above all other names, and it will be like that with or without us. We know that, right? But God so longs that we glorify His name, that we exalt His name. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the world. You and I need to not only understand that, we need to acknowledge that, we need to proclaim that, that the name of God is excellent and is exalted above everything in the world. That is pleasing to God. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. How can I bless the Lord's name? By worshiping Him. By loving Him. By meditating on the meaning of His name. Because it is the most exalted name in the entire universe. When Jesus gave us the model prayer, oftentimes we say that was Jesus' prayer. That was actually a model prayer that He gave the disciples and also us. He started out by saying, Our Father who art in heaven. Some little boy said, God's name in heaven is art. It says, Our Father who art in heaven. No, that was a misunderstanding. But then he goes on. He says, Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Glorified be your name. The first and foremost goal in our prayer or our prayers ought to be to hallow, glorify God's name. There is no greater purpose for prayer than to hallow, glorify, or hallow also means sanctify God's name. That means that we come to God with the understanding and with the awareness that His name is set apart from all other names. He represents, His name represents something that only He can give, something that the world, nobody else in this world, nothing else can give us, that we can receive through His name. That is awesome. Set apart. And it also causes us, when we look at the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, it causes us to make a certain submission, to submit to his name. Lord, I come on the authority and under the authority of your name, which is a holy name, which is a sanctified name, a set apart name. Now about the name of Jesus here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, we find a description. And this is so important. And people forget this every day, and many Christians forget this too. But we need to remind ourselves, and it's good if we would memorize this scripture. Philippians 2, verse 8 through 11, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, what reason? That he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. For that reason, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon him the name which is above all other names, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love that scripture. You know, the day will come. It doesn't matter what philosophy people have had. It doesn't matter what outlook in life they had. It doesn't matter what religion they subscribe to or what lifestyle they subscribe to. What will matter in the end? That every tongue, yes, the godless, the rebellious, the bitter people, everybody will confess. And make this one confession. It will be united. Everyone will agree that Jesus Christ is of everything. That moment is coming. In this life, people have a free will. We can choose which ways to go. We can choose under what authority we want to live. Whether our own authority, our own name, or under some religious authority, or whatever it is. But in the end, the authority of the name of Jesus will prevail for all eternity, and we cannot change that forever. And I praise God for that. There's nothing as solid and as reliable as that. So now Jesus wants you and me to act in his name. So we come to the Father in prayer. We're not coming in our own name. I'm not praying and saying, Lord, I come to you in the name of the family name Kaler. Well, that won't help. It won't work. Because he can say, what is your name better than anybody else's name? We don't come in someone else's name. We don't say, I come to you in D.S. Warner's name, you know, the one of the pioneers of the Church of God. I come to you in D.L. Moody's name. I come to you in Billy Graham's name. I come to you in this name and that name. Some religion, maybe Menno Simon, maybe Luther, or no. Because none of those names will get us anywhere with God, only the name of Jesus. Because we are now coming not only in someone's name, but we come in under the authority of that name, the authority of the name of Jesus. I like the story of David and Goliath. I know in our political correctness time, that story may not be very nice, because here was a young man who killed a big giant. You know, there was a killing going on. In the Old Testament, there were so many killings, right? But I love the story of David and Goliath. One of the reasons I love it so much, and you've heard it in Sunday school many times, we're so familiar with it. But listen to what David says as Goliath is mocking God's people. He's this big, giant bully that just puts fear in the army of Israel. And the people of God, they just shiver, they just shake, and they're just fearful. And here's David. The older soldiers, his older brothers, and King Saul, they thought he was crazy. They thought he was this youthful, risk-taking young man that was this full of energy and full of adventure. You see, when you're young, you're really bold. You think you're, unstoppable. But David had more than just youthful energy. He had a very solid, if you will, trust in God. And as this giant came up and his big booming voice trying to put fear, more fear into Israel, David faced him. And David was confident in his faith in God. And this is what he said. You come to me. This is what David said to Goliath, this big giant that he was about to defeat. He said, you come to me with sword, spear, and shield. All fearful things. Warrior. You come to me as a warrior. You come to me very overwhelming, very appearing to be very powerful. But then he says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And I think we need to speak to our enemy, which is Satan, when he tempts us, when he wants us to doubt things, when he wants us to be all confused. We need to speak to our enemy like this. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Back off, Satan. We can say that. Have you ever been bold enough to say that? If you haven't been, start being bold and using the name of God, because you have the authority to Jesus Christ. All authority, Jesus says, is given to me in heaven and on earth. If that is really true, then he says, therefore, go and proclaim the gospel. Be bold. Don't be afraid, but proclaim the gospel to all creatures. So the authority of the name of the Lord of hosts gave David this boldness and this power to defeat the enemy. And we know the end of the story. So we come in place of that person, in the place of the person of Jesus Christ. Not on the basis of who we are. If you pray to God on the basis of who you are, you'll get very discouraged and you'll stop praying. Because you can only see your weaknesses. And some of us, we can only see to the end of our noses. But when we come to God and we submit ourselves under the authority of the name of Jesus and we say, Lord, I come to you in the authority of the name of Jesus. And I believe that that is the actual prayer that pleases the Father. We come to the Father because Jesus sent us. If the Father should ever ask, why are you coming to me? Why are you asking me this? Why are you praying so much? Then we can say, because Jesus, your Son, gave me that permission, that authority, that boldness to come before you. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says. And I believe with all my heart that we need to take a lot more advantage of this. Therefore, let us draw near to the Father, with confidence or boldness to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, don't be shy to pray. Don't be shy to tell God everything that's on your heart, all the feelings you have and all the burdens you have and all the confusion you have. And if you're angry at God, tell him that too. Because that's what this verse says. I don't know about you, but I feel I'm always in need. And this is part of being poor in spirit. Remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Being poor in spirit means that we always need something from the Father. We need new strengths. We are so dependent on Jesus and the Father, and we have done this by design. We want to be dependent on Jesus because we don't want to be dependent on anything and anybody else, because his name is above all other names. So if the Father should ever ask us, "What are you doing here at my throne?" we can boldly say, "Your son Jesus sent me here. I asked Jesus and he said, go to the Father and it will be given to me." That's the essence of it. The Father, this is the interesting thing, the Father has obligated himself to receive us if we come in the name of Jesus. You come and you pray in the name of Jesus. The Father has said, if you do that, I will accept you. Ephesians 1, verse 5 and 6. He, the Lord God, has predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he made us accepted in the Beloved. Everything in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 17, if we are his children, then we are his heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That is above my understanding. It is so glorious. And verse 32, also in Romans 8, he who did not spare his son, but delivered him over for all of us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? With him, with Jesus, in Jesus' name. We often use this formula. We pray in Jesus' name. And we have the impression that is all that needs to be said. I mean, if you pray, then at least make sure that at the end we pray in Jesus' name. It's a good habit, and I don't want any one of us to stop it. But let's go deeper and really pray in Jesus' name from beginning to end. Let's stand for a time of prayer and reflection. Maybe you have struggled in your prayer life lately. But I would like to encourage you to pray something like this. Father, I acknowledge that I am unworthy to receive anything from you. I affirm that I come only in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, you promise not to withhold anything from me. And that is why I pray for this healing. That is why I pray for this strength. That is why I pray for this forgiveness. And whatever it is, whatever we may fill in. You and I matter to God. Our prayers matter in heaven. And when we pray, we're never without hope. And on the occasions that we can't find the words to speak, we can call to the Lord, Abba, Father. And we can say, Father, you are good. I need your help. Heal me. Forgive me. So-and-so needs help. The health crisis in our life doesn't have to hold the power over us and over our spirits. If your marriage is in a mess, that mess is not in charge of your life. Jesus Christ is. And if you're a young person, young believer that worries about temptations and trials and doubting and confusion, use the name of Jesus in prayer, because that's where the power is.